I hope you like this little signature tune. I just love it. Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. Well, you've read the headlines on biznews.com, watched the interviews on BizNews TV, and caught up on the BizNews briefing. I hope you like our new format that we've introduced this week. So now let's talk about the latest developments and what they mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Thursday, the 20th of November, 2025. I'm so glad to have you with me. Well, I had one of those exceptionally busy days yesterday. They're busy pretty much every day, Monday through Thursday. I wind down towards the end of the week and I'm looking forward to this afternoon. It'll be a little chilled, but yesterday, that was almost like the eye of the storm. I received a pretty hectic lawyer's letter from Weber Wenzel, who were acting on behalf of the JSE. And they were following up an article that we published, in good faith, I'll have you know, from information that was sent to us by Montengu. Montengu is the company that is run by Mike Miller, and Mike Miller has been alleging that there's a conspiracy going on between people at the JSE and outside parties, and he has named Zunaid Morty, the colourful, controversial entrepreneur who's well known for his property operations and his helicopter that he flies into densely, well, not that densely populated, but certainly an urban area of Johannesburg called Bryanston. I suppose it's strictly speaking at Sandton, but that's all part of the Joburg Metro now, so I'll get away with that. Anyway, Morty has responded. He took out some significant, we can see, advertising support for an interview that we had as his right of reply to what Mike Miller said in his first attack. And now the JSE is saying that Miller has got it all wrong. Well, Miller paid for a sponsored content in Business Day where he said some things, including publishing emails. He then sent that documentation to us, and I presume pretty much everybody else. And we went through the information and then published. This is what Montengu is alleging. This is what's behind their issue. And they did talk to two people who I know and respect. Sarah Jane Trent, who used to be a partner at Paul O'Sullivan and Associates, and to Alan Thompson, who is a long-time friend of mine who left the JSE, oh, must be a dozen years ago, in the very early days of BizNews, I recall. And in fact, it was before BizNews was even born. I think it was back when we were farming in Moy River. Anyway, Alan Thompson is a friend of mine. We've played golf. He's a wonderful, honorable man. He runs a company called Dreadnought Capital. He's been helping the people in Zambia, for instance. And Alan is an expert in the futures market. So you've got Alan Thompson's name on the Montengo documents, and you've got Sarah Jane Trent's name. So I think immediately, yeah, there's got to be something more to this than just some crazy guy having a go. Well, I had a chat with both of them. I'm not going to disclose because they were off the record discussions. And thereafter, it wasn't long thereafter, there was an email that came through from Weber Wenzel, which was demanding that we take down the article from Montengu, where we'd summarized it. And by the way, at this point, we'd already approached the JSE and asked them for a right of reply, not just to this story, but to the A2X Competition Commission challenge. So I'm very keen to talk to someone from the JSE to actually find out where they are on both of these issues. And Lucy, my executive producer, had to remind them a couple of times that we wanted to talk to them. Eventually, we did get hold of them the next morning where they said, their head of comms said, no, they don't want to talk. So in between all of this, there's a lawyer's letter that comes from Weber Wenzel. in fact, not in between, just after all of this, here comes Weber Wenzel, and they're saying you better take that down because Mantengo is having a is being economic with the facts, and here is why. I then said to them, okay, I get what you're saying, but send me the court papers because there's an urgent interdict that they've now brought against Mantengo. The JSE have tired of Mantengo's attacks and media campaign, and they have said that they want the courts to gag them, basically stop them from spreading untruths or fake news. And they're going to court tomorrow, and I've received all of the papers, and the papers are all on BizNews together with our story, our updated story from the JSE. And the way I understand it is this: Mantengo has got emails that allege to have been written by Zarina Bassa, who is a director of the JSE, to a guy called Robert James Pesch, who's better known as the finance ghost. So Robert James Pesch, who incidentally I spoke to Sean, he said, no, he does. He's a long-lost maybe member of the clan, his grandfather's brother's son or something along those lines. But he's never met the guy and he doesn't know him and he's never even spoken to him. So anyway, it's not the famous Pesch. It's another Pesch who's actually been writing under a pseudonym for a long time, which I always was told you're not allowed to do when it comes to price-sensitive information and to do with shares, but he seems to have gotten away with it. And the JSE has now exposed him as being the guy who's called the finance ghost. And then they got hold of him and they said to him, these emails that were written to you, which are now being exposed and used by Mantengo. And he said, no, I don't know anything about this. And his affidavit says he knows nothing. On top of that, there was also the insinuation that Ian Kirk, the former CEO of Sanlam and a director of the JSE, had also written very, pretty incriminating emails. So both Zarina and Ian Kirk, those are the emails. That's the core of the Mantengo argument. And the JSE says it's fake news, both of those, that they don't belong to either of these people. They did not write those emails, and they have provided evidence to show accordingly. So who are we to believe? Well, the courts are going to make a decision tomorrow. We've put all of the court papers up. We've put a story up on BizNews. And from my conversations, my further investigation, by talking to those two people who actually gave the whole Mantengo issue credibility, it's not entirely clear that what they supported there or what they investigated has actually supported the case that Mantengo is trying to make. So it's not entirely clear. Maybe it is clear. Maybe it's just too clear. It's too complex for me to understand all of this. Let's let the courts do it. And apart from anything else, who am I to judge? I'm not a judge. So we've got the evidence from Mantengo on the one side. We've got the evidence from the JSE on the other. They're going to court tomorrow. Grab the popcorn. The big investment story of the moment is with NVIDIA. The numbers that came out were spectacular. Now, just to give you an understanding of the size and the scale of NVIDIA, because the whole investment world, not just in the United States, but everywhere else, was watching NVIDIA's numbers to see whether this poster child of the AI boom could deliver on this continued explosion that the share prices are suggested is occurring. And, well, it certainly did, because the after-hours share price of NVIDIA was up 5%. Now, the scale of that, NVIDIA is worth 12 times South Africa's GDP. So you could have 12 countries the size of South Africa take all the money that is spent in those countries over a year, add it all together, and that's what you'd need to buy NVIDIA. That's how huge this organization is, the most valuable company in the world. And for the moment, everybody's happy. They even beat once again beat analysts' expectations on that. There's also a really good story that you can pick up on BizNews, only on BizNews, which came out of the lockup press conference at the MTBPS budget, and the Director General of Finance, Duncan Peterser, promised to provide, and he has provided, a list of the 71 municipalities that have applied for debt forgiveness from Eskom. Treasury said, well and good, but these are the criteria you have to meet. And only a third of them have met that criteria, and they've had one third of their debt already extinguished. Now, ratepayers need to watch, especially for those who live outside the metros, need to go and look at that list. Because if your town is on that list, then clearly something serious is amiss amongst the two-thirds who went to Treasury and said, please, we want debt forgiveness. And Treasury is going to make a plan for them on the proviso that they actually deliver in future. Well, two-thirds of them can't. What is interesting about the list, and there's some surprises there. Mangaung is on there, the old Bloemfontein. And the Western Cape, 4 out of 4. They had 4 municipalities applied, and all four of them made the cut. So that's good news, again, for the Western Cape, which kind of sends a big signal, doesn't it? Anyway, not that you need that signal anymore. You live in South Africa. You know exactly what's happening in our country. I'm going to leave it there for today. Keep an eye out on your premium newsletter for links on our freshest published content. And today includes almost like a spy story from R.W. Johnson. It's a fascinating insight into, well, one of the guys at Mossad, who I'm sure the Israelis are just going to keep giving lots of medals to. Thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until Monday, cheerio.